In the book of Psalms, chapter 56, this morning, my subject, my thought is simply this: our fears and our tears. Our fears and our tears. Psalm 56, verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His word, in God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words, all their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. For this I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these precious words from your word. Thank you for this precious psalm. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege today to open this precious word of God and preach from this text. And I pray today your blessings now as the word of God goes forth. Bless all of the prayer requests that's been shared this morning. Thank you for the testimonies that's been given as well. Now, Father, bless us. Address the needs upon our hearts today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our fears and our tears. I know that's kind of an unusual thought, but I read this particular psalm, and I can't help but see those two words, those two thoughts leaping forth from the text. The human author of this psalm was a man of mixed emotions, yet he was a man after God's own heart. David was a man of fear. David was a man of tears. And I believe it's safe to say that David represents all of us here today. We have our fears. We have our tears. It seems that fears and tears are a part of life. But guess what? They're not all of the time bad. In other words, God can use our fears and God can use our tears. David was a man that knew the joy of mountaintops and he knew the grief of the valley. He was a man of mixed emotions. In this psalm, he talks about fears. In this psalm, he talks about tears. Fears and tears can be both pain and gain. When you think about it, while fears have a normal source, understand though that faith has a supernatural source. The exercise of faith is pleasing to God. We know that without faith it's impossible to please Him, for him that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews chapter 11. Fear is good when fear triggers our faith. When our fears cause us to flee to God, when our fears prompt our obedience, when our fears would lead us to cry out to God, then we can back off and say, in that case, fears work to my good. When fear triggers faith, we can see that in this particular psalm here, we can see that fear is remedied, and catch this thought. Not only is fear remedied, but tears are remembered. We have the remedy for fear, and we have the remembrance of tears based upon this particular psalm. This psalm, Psalm 56, which is our text today, magnifies the cares and the provisions of the Lord. This psalm lets us understand, helps us to appreciate more how God cares for, how God provides for His people. Now, my primary emphasis today is to the child of God. My primary audience would be the Christian. However, I would be quick to say this morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, then you are at the right place at the right time, because you can also understand that God would have you to know the Lord as well, and God would have you to be blessed as Christians are blessed. But the thought here today is simply this: fears, tears. I said that in this psalm, the psalmist magnifies God's care and God's provision. You say, well, Pastor, how is that seen? Well, again, with your Bibles open, let me just remind us of something today. We see here that the Lord was mindful of David's trials. We see the Lord was mindful of David's trust. And we see the Lord was mindful of David's tears. Again, notice the passage. God's mindful of David's trials, 5 through 7, verses 5 through 7. David's trials. Every day they rest my words. You know what the word rest means? It means twist. David is saying that they are twisting my words. Look at verse 5. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. In other words, they watch my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. God was mindful of David's trials. He was a man of trials. So are we. We're not immune to trials. We have trials. We have issues. We have problems. We have griefs. We have burdens. We have battles. We're not immune to trials. God's mindful of our trials. Notice secondly, God is mindful of David's trust, verses 10 and 11. In God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man will do unto me. God was mindful of his trust. David said, in God I have put my trust. As I go through these trials, as I shed these tears, I'm still trusting in the Lord. God was mindful of David's trials. God was mindful of David's trust. Number three, God is mindful of David's tears. Verse 8, verse 9. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears in thy bottle. Interesting thought, isn't it? Put thou my tears in thy bottle, are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is with me. God was mindful of David's trials, David's trust, and David's tears. I find it this morning to be very encouraging that God is mindful of our trials, God is mindful of our trust, and God is mindful of our tears. I believe, just like what the psalmist says, God put his tears in a bottle. God remembers. I believe this morning the Lord knows what causes us to cry. I believe God knows the burdens upon our hearts. God knows the trials that we go through. God knows. I'm encouraged when I am reminded here that God is mindful of our tears. Now think of other passages of Scripture. Did you know that Paul was mindful of Timothy's tears? 2 Timothy 1:4 says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Paul was mindful of Timothy's tears. Jesus was mindful of the tears of others too. John chapter 11, Jesus wept. Jesus saw the tears of Martha, the tears of Mary, and the Bible says that Jesus wept. An amazing verse. To think that God wept. You know, He's God. When it says Jesus wept, God wept. We have a high priest that's been touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We have a God that sees our tears and remembers our tears. Oh, what a blessing. You know, tears, let me speak just a little bit from experience here. Tears usually become more frequent with age. And I think there's reasons for that, because I think oftentimes age softens the heart. Time softens the heart. But I will be quick to say today that the tears of God's people, when we get older, are not bitter tears. They're tears of a different sort. I find myself weeping more than I ever have wept, but my tears now flow from another source. I can tell you this morning that I have tears of satisfaction and tears of joy. The longer I walk with God, and the more I see the Lord working, and as I see God's providence, and as I see God's love, as I see God's care, I find myself weeping more. But my tears are not tears of bitterness or tears of regret or tears of remorse. My tears flow from satisfaction that God has nurtured my soul and let me see His presence and let me experience His peace. And I see His hand at work all around me. And I rejoice. And sometimes tears will flow, but those tears are tears of joy. This past week, my wife and I went to see her son in Florida, and took one day and went over to Kennedy Space Center. Many of you, I'm sure, have been there. And we were watching the displays, the presentations, and looking at the modules and the spacecrafts that previously had been used to carry our astronauts out into outer space. And we heard an interesting presentation. The speaker was reminding the audience, he didn't tell me anything, though, that I didn't already know, but let me qualify my statement. The galaxies, the ability that our astronauts have had, the invention of stronger telescopes, the ability now to pull closer, to see more the expanse of space, and to see a little bit clearer the reality of galaxy after galaxy. And a lot of the great pictures that we saw were taken while they're in that module. What's that thing called that floats around the Earth continually? Workstation for astronauts. Actual footage, actual pictures taken. We were able to see some of those pictures. But here's the thing that struck me. The speaker, he was commenting about the fact some of these stars are just forming. And then he threw in billions and billions and billions of years ago, this star had its beginning, or this planet had its beginning. And then I looked at that and I backed off and picked up my Bible and read from the book of Genesis. I looked at Genesis chapter 1. And I read, which I've read multitudes of times, and so have you, that God created the heavens and the earth. It seems like the people in these national museums, they always have to make a beeline towards evolution. But we that are God's people, we understand that everything that's in space is there because of God's creative genius. He is the creator. And I'll tell you, I watched that presentation and I welled up with tears because I thought of the majesty and the power of my God. And that made me realize more His spatial love and tenderness and care, that God would visit one little speck in the universe and plant His feet on planet Earth in the person of the dear Lamb of God, and go to the cross of Calvary and die for my sins. That same majestic, mighty God that hurled the galaxies in space died for me personally on the cross of Calvary for my sins. So I watched that presentation emotional, but it came from another source, because I saw the hand of my God in all that was witnessed that day. Yes, Paul was mindful of Timothy's tears. Jesus mindful of our tears. Tears frequent our age. Time softens the heart. But there's tears of joy and satisfaction. They become more prevalent the more we walk with God. I find myself observing more and more as I get older and older God's love and care for His people. I'm finding even more in life, even more and more illustrations of life indicating God's care and God's love. I will say this morning that fear is both natural, at the same time, fear is valuable, for it prompts trust in God and the realization that we can't trust ourselves. I want to just give you a few simple thoughts here this morning from my message. Number one, here's the point I want to mention. Notice what is said about our fears. What is said about our fear? Verse number 3, we have a remedy for fear. Verse 3, what time I'm afraid I'll trust in thee. That's the remedy for fear. I will trust in thee. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Leading me to say today that trust is a remedy for fear. There's passage after passage of Scripture in the Word of God that indicate that trust is the remedy for fear. Psalm 46 verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 112 verse number 7, He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Isaiah chapter 12 verse number 2, Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. The prophet said, I will trust and not be afraid. Now compare that to the Psalm 56 passage. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. The prophet said, I will trust and not be afraid. Now which of those two would be the higher level? What the prophet said, I will trust and not be afraid. But when I am afraid, I'll trust in thee. You see, if we can ever get to the place where we'll simply trust and not be afraid, then thank God we will have arrived a little bit higher. But being who we are, what we are, creatures, fallen, we normally fear. But the antidote for fear is trust. The remedy for fear is trust. Always has been. And that's what we need to do. It's what we need to think about. I heard of, I'll give you this real quickly. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Don't you love that 2 Timothy 1:7 verse? God hath not given us the spirit of fear. When we find the spirit of fear, it is not God given. You can take that verse, look at it, study it, and come up with what you want to. But based upon that verse, if we're fearful, God didn't give us that spirit of fear. It came from another source. Here's a thought. I heard of a husband and a wife that were out in a storm. Storm rose, the wife was afraid. Her husband, however, was very calm. He was peaceful, he was calm. She asked him, her husband, how can you be so calm with a storm the way it is? He picked up a sword by way of illustration. He pointed that sword at his wife's heart. She didn't panic, though. He looked at his wife. He asked her, he said, how can you be so calm? He said, here I have this sword in my hand. I'm pointing this sword at you. How can you be so calm? Her answer was, because I know whose hand the sword is in. The sword was in his hands. She knew her husband wouldn't kill her. She knew her husband loved her. And then her husband went on to say that this storm is in my Father's hands. And He loves you even more than I do. You know, fear, my friend, is a part of life. Remember the Lord's words to His disciples when they were out there in the storm. He said, it is I, be not afraid. It is I, be not afraid. If you're kind of tuned with interesting quotes and things that show up in the Bible, you might be interested to know that fear not is found 100 times in the Bible. Fear not. 100 times in the Bible. Fear. Extremities that are brought on by fear can lead to great lessons on God's care. When life brings us into fear, we can learn great lessons on God's care. I had something that came right to my doorstep recently at my house by way of an illustration of the point that I want to make. Now, I'm pushing the 3 score and 10, age-wise. I hate to tell you my age, but I'm telling you, I'm about ready for a major celebration here pretty soon when it hit the big 70. And I've been around a long, long time. And I've lived in the country. I've lived in the city. I've walked through many fields, played in caves in West Virginia as a kid. I've been in the country. But something happened about 3 or 4 weeks ago at our house that I've never seen happen before, and this is a country boy that's talking. We had a wild rabbit that jumped up into our flower box right beside our house and had a litter of youngins in our flower box. Now, like I say, I've been in the fields and meadows all my life, but I've never had a wild rabbit build a nest and have, and it had four little ones in our flower box. I'm talking about, you know where my house is at. You come up that little side porch there, and we got a little flower box, and that was where it happened. We could walk out on our step or on our porch and look right straight down. There's those rabbits. But let me tell you something. You know how I am when it comes to life and things that happen. I seek, by God's help, to recognize a lesson, a spiritual lesson. Because I believe the Lord gave me an illustration right there. Things like that just usually don't happen. A lot of times farmers will be out mowing and they'll, you know, catch a little one in the blade or whatever, little rabbits, you know, in meadows. But I've never seen this happen before. And I thought about this. Those little rabbits inside that flower box, huddling beneath a flower. I knew where they were all the time. I could look at them. I could watch them. If I'd wanted to, I could have easily harmed them. You see, I'm a person that I have shot a few rabbits in my lifetime. Rabbit hunter. I love to rabbit hunt. And they taste pretty good in a fixing a crock pot. But you see, I could have harmed those little bunnies if I wanted to, but I couldn't because of my nature. I actually love them. I think that's one of the prettiest little creatures God ever created. But you see, I look at those little rabbits there, and I'm amazed at how God, in His creation, can put upon this earth so many precious little creatures. And I love them. I wouldn't harm them. In fact, if I could, I would have liked to have reached down and picked them up and stroked them and petted them. But I couldn't because of their nature. They wouldn't let me. I couldn't get so close to them. I could see them. I could easily harm them. But I wouldn't because of my nature. I thought about this. Why wouldn't they let me touch them? They're wild. If it was tame rabbits, it would be different. They're wild. Their nature prevents them from being comfortable with a human being. Now you think about something here this morning. I think of us Christians. I think of the wild, sinful nature that so oftentimes becomes a barrier for us. I think about how the Heavenly Father loves us and would like to hold us and to enjoy our presence. But we flee from Him And just like those little rabbits, they're huddling under that little flower. We flee from the Heavenly Father. And we many times, because of the sinful, wild, sinful nature, we huddle under a cheap substitute for protection. If He wanted, He could harm us. But He won't, because of His nature. Because of His nature. He's a loving God, isn't He? We deserve to be harmed. We deserve to be judged. We deserve to be persecuted. But He can't harm us because of His nature. He can't. His nature forbids Him. God's an everlasting God. In fact, I think of the New Testament. And I think of the fact of how the disciples, I think about how the disciples messed up and went fishing. And Peter, of course, led the pack to go fishing. He denied his Lord. And Peter was in a backslidden stupor. But yet when Jesus came to Peter on that shore, when the Lord provided the meal for them, Jesus didn't condemn Peter. Jesus didn't judge Peter. Jesus had every right to, because Peter denied his Lord. But Jesus didn't. You know what Jesus did do though? He looked at Peter and said, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" Well, I think about those little rabbits. I could harm them if I want to, but I don't want to because of my nature. I actually loved them. They didn't know it, but I did. And my friend, God loves me. And He loves you. You know, if you keep your eyes open, it's amazing the illustration the Lord will throw at your doorstep, illustrating His love, His kindness, His patience, and His grace. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Yes, there's a remedy for fear, but now let me move on here very quickly. There is relief in our fear. There is not only a remedy for our fear, there's relief in our fear. When we are fearful, there is a relief. And here's how I want to put it. Joyful, we rejoice even when we fear. That's relief in fear. I mean, how can it be that you and I as a Christian can have joy while we're fearful? Even in the midst of being fearful, we still can have joy. That's amazing. Like the women that came to the tomb where Jesus had been at the resurrection. The Bible tells us that there was fear and great joy. They had fear but great joy. Those two things go together in the case of a Christian, fear and great joy. You find nothing but pure old raw fear for the unsaved person, but you find fear and great joy in the case of God's people. That's not only a remedy for, but that's relief in fear. I tremble as I look at myself, as I think of my weakness. I tremble at my weakness, but I'm rejuvenated by joy and strength that comes from the Lord. Christians do have fears, don't they? We understand the frailty of life. You say, well, where's your fears? Well, now think about this. Christians have fears, legitimately so. The older we get, the longer we live, we have fears because Christians know the frailty of life. We understand the brevity of life. Now, you know what? Old Loretta Lynn used to sing that song, "Everybody Wants to Go to Heaven, but Nobody Wants to Die." There's a lot of truth to that. She didn't know it maybe when she's singing it, but there is a lot of truth to that. There's not a person here this morning that relishes the thought of dying. Because we're set up to live. We relate to living. We don't relate to being dead. We relate to living. But here's the thing that really thrills me though. Is though we have our fears, we still have our fears rejuvenated by joy, because in the midst of our fears, God comes along and calms us and gives us peace. And we still have joy, and we still have satisfaction. We can still look at things with joy. God rejuvenates our fears by joy. And then when it comes right down to it, when we have to step across that river, God will be there. God will take care of us. It's happened time and time again. We've seen it over and over again, especially in our church here. We've lost so many precious loved ones. But I'm telling you what, Christians die well. God helps them. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thank God it's relegated to being a shadow, not a substance. Shadows don't kill. Shadows don't hurt. Shadows don't harm. Our fear is rejuvenated as we trust in the Lord and experience the joy and satisfaction that God gives us along the way. Not true of anyone except the child of God. We have fear. We're sensible to the things around us. We recognize that we have enemies. Unsaved people live like they got the world by the tail, but boy, are they in for a rude awakening. Fear comes from life's responsibilities and limited resources. The longer we serve God, the more we realize we're weak and we tremble and we can't make it alone and we can't help ourselves. We must have God. But we have fears because we know the older we get, the weaker we become in how we need the Lord. Yet faith is always in season and is always in reason for the child of God. Charles Spurgeon put it like this. He said, faith is never so full-flavored as when it is produced beneath cloudy skies. Fears have a remedy and fears have a relief. I've mentioned our fears. Now quickly, and we'll be through, what about our tears? Our tears are remembered. Verse 8. Bible says, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Who in the world understands what he's talking about when he says, put thou my tears into thy bottle? We read that. And we're wondering now, what's going on? What is the psalmist talking about? What is he thinking? Where he says, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Maybe it would help us today to understand a little bit about a custom or a tradition, a biblical tradition. Did you know that the Romans had a custom that at the time of a funeral, a friend would go to a grieving person at that time while they're weeping? They would take a cloth. They would wipe the tears with that cloth. They would then squeeze that cloth with its tears into a tear bottle. Tear bottle. There's actually been tear bottles that have been found in ancient tombs. Bottle with a wide mouth at the top where it was called a tear bottle. And then the custom was they would squeeze the tears into that tear bottle. And the bottle would be buried with the body of the deceased, showing, indicating how much they grieved for that loved one. Bible says, thou puttest thou my tears into thy bottle. John Bunyan said, God puts our tears in a bottle so that he can wipe them away. Matthew Henry said, the tears of God's persecuted people are bottled up and sealed among God's treasures. Here's the thought I want to leave with you. God will wipe away all tears from our eyes, according to the book of Revelation. But now what does tears say? When you and I weep as a Christian, we weep tears sometimes of a burden, of a grief, of a heartache, of something that's stabbing at our heart. But the basic thought is, just like it was a custom to take the tears and put them in a tear bottle, we have reasons to believe that that's also indicative of how God sees our tears, remembers our tears, knows our grief, and God will hold that into account. The Lord honors that. Our tears, our burdens, our grief are not forgotten by loving God. Our tears I read his bottle. I read that and I think about that and my heart is thrilled because, and I've been by the bedside and by the side of many saints of God that have wept their eyes red with tears. And my heart breaks. And our hearts are broken. But you can be sure of this morning. God does not forget the tears of His brokenhearted people. And the Lord will one day take that into account. Our fears are remedied and our tears are remembered. But we're blessed today in more ways than we can realize. You know that? The Queen of England, we're told, made Billy Graham, that is Billy Graham, a Royal Knight of England. We're told that that has happened. The Queen of England made him a Royal Knight of England. But here's the thing, you think about that this morning. That's nothing compared to what God has made us. I'm more than the knight of a queen. I'm the child of a king, aren't you? I'd rather be a child of a king than a knight of the queen. And I'm glad that everything that happens in the life of God's people, the Lord can use it. He can teach us. He can make us a better person. And we see His love behind every shadow. We see His smile still behind every storm. And we know that our fears and our tears are still a part of the overall makeup that God is using to make you and me a better person for His glory. And I have a suspicion when we get to heaven, we will be thankful then for our fears and our tears because they help develop us in a way that only they could develop us. Much learning comes not just simply from the book. It's from experiences of life. The Father would wean us more from ourselves and wean us more from this world and draw us closer to Himself if we'll only let Him. If we'll not be fearful like the little rabbits and realize He does, all He's wanting to do is just love us. But we resist Him sometimes because of that wild nature called the flesh. But He's got our backs the whole time. And that's encouraging to me. Let's pray.